Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and at verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and at verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In this book, Solomon is reflecting on his past life. And I suppose what you could say is that his life could have been so much better. He was a good man. There can be no doubt about that. But he did many a strange thing for a good person. His wives, the kind of wives he had, what he did for them. It's obviously out of order. But, you see, what we would understand is that the Lord brought him back closer to himself at the end of his days and inspired him to write the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's many a wonderful thing said there. There's no mistake there. When he records the way that he went astray, and the attempts that he made to find enjoyment. And after one and another of these are mentioned, he says this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, I just want to say a little today, as Lord may be pleased to help us, about these words I read the second time. A tree in some forest, perhaps well away from human habitation, and it's blown down. A great storm rises, and the roots of the tree cannot hold it in place, and it's blown over. And whichever way the tree is lying, whether it's pointing to the north or to the south or any other direction, that's what it's going to be. And what this can point us to is a human being leaning, we might say, in one direction or another. A human being leaning towards godliness or leaning towards ungodliness. Whatever way that might be at the end of his or her days, and the tree falls because of this great wind that has risen. Where the tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. You see, I'm assuming that what we're pointing to is it's not a tree felled for use in some way or another, not to be used in construction or whatever it might be, when it'll be gathered up and taken away. It's a tree that's left on the ground. That's picture. And the way I want to apply it, and the way that it has, I would understand being commonly applied is the pest. Cut down by death. Which way were they leaning? And that has a great deal to do with the way that a tree falls. Was it leaning one way or another? And certainly it has everything to do with human beings. Which way were they leaning? Were they leaning towards godliness? Were they leaning towards heaven? Were they leaning towards God? Or were they leaning towards ungodliness? Were they leaning towards a lost eternity? Were they leaning away from God and toward the devil and his ways? Well, death comes. They fall. They fall according to the way that they were leaning. And that's how it's going to be. And what I would like to do is to note, first of all, what I've been saying, basically. And what I'm taking these words to picture to us. That our spiritual condition at death is determined, will determine, I should say, our eternal state. Our spiritual condition at death, where we're leaning, it will determine our spiritual state. It will determine where we spend eternity. And then the second point is this, that we should bear that in mind, and how earnest we should be to find salvation. If I can put it like that, how earnest we should be to ask God to cause us to lean in the right direction. You might want to have a tree lean in a particular direction. Or the example that is in my mind, a tree that was leaning very much in one direction, and somebody put a rope to the tree and they tied it to, I think it was a pillar on the post of the house outside which it was, stop it going any further. But you could also think of using a rope like that and pull it in a little every so often to bring it to lean in a better direction. And it's God that will do that. The influence of others might have some effect, but you see, what really we need is that the Lord would pull us back, that the Lord would restrain us. As the rope in my little illustration was intended to suggest, but beyond that, that the Lord would bring us to lean in another direction, so that when our soul leaves our body, the tree would fall in the direction that we should want. Well, two things today. And that is the way we are leaning in life, and in particular the way we are leaning when death comes to us, is the way that the tree will fall. It's the way that we will lie for eternity. And then secondly, basically, to make a use of that in encouraging us all to seek the Lord, that we might be safe when death comes. Well then, There's no need to tell anybody in one way. There's no need to spend a long time proving that everybody will die. No need for that. We will die. Because of sin. Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Because of what Eve did, and then more significantly still, what Adam did. Yes. They took the forbidden fruit, with the emphasis on the word forbidden. God had forbidden it. And to do what God forbids, or not to do what God commands, is sin. It's against God. It's going against God's will. And we should remember that the law is holy, and it is just, and it is good. It is good. Now, that's what people in their sins do not believe. But God's law is good for us. If we were able to behave perfectly, as the children of God do in heaven, or as Adam and Eve did before the fall, however brief a time that may have been, you see, you would ask them, or ask the people of God in heaven today, if that was possible, you could ask them, how do you feel about God's law? How do you feel about it? And the answer would be along the lines of, it's very good. It's good that I have the law. And as far as that is concerned, that's what the people of God are learning. It's good to have boundaries. It's good to have boundaries. You see, it's good for children to have boundaries. And one of the boundaries that we should look out for is the commandments. Or you could say the commandments and all the application of the commandments in the Word of God. They're good for us. You see, it's in the nature of man to rebel against these boundaries. And how much rebellion there is in our generation. Rebellion against God's law. Rebellion in Parliament against God's law. Rebellion in the streets against God's law. And one could enlarge on that. But more significant is the rebellion in our own hearts. And we need to be shown the goodness of God's law, the righteousness of God's law, and the situation we are in by nature of being, of breaking God's law, crossing over the boundaries. God's good boundaries. Yes. Now, just to say further along these lines just now, the wages of sin is death. Why must we die? Why did death come into the world to cause so much distraction and so much sadness? Oh, go back to Eden. We've been there already just now. But keep going back to Eden and see what went wrong with this world. The devil got in. And that's what he's trying to do time and again, to get in. To get into the church of God, to get into communities, to get into families, to get into nations and wreak havoc. Yes. How we should be asking that the Lord would put a restraint on the evil. How we should be asking that. The Lord is able to put out restraint. That's as far as it will go, to restrain the evil. And the Lord is able very much to put a restraint on the evil. And one thing about days of blessing, when the Lord gives a blessing through the word on a wild scale, the Lord is putting a restraint on the evil. He is exerting his own power to bring sinners out of the way wherein destroyers go. And you see, just to mention just now the next phrase in the psalm, hold up my goings, Lord, me guide, more than a phrase, in those thy paths divine. Hold up my goings. That's what the Lord is asking. That's what we are to be asking the Lord, sorry. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide, in those thy paths divine. Well, what I meant just now is this, death. And you have these verses in Isaiah 40, all flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower thereof, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Think of death. What should be the next step? Where should the next look go? To the word of God. It abides forever, will not abide forever, in this world anyway. Will pass away. We see that again and again. As I said, we don't need, I'm putting it another way, but it's the same basic point. We don't need long lectures about the certainty of death. It should be obvious. But there's this. What we need is that would be applied to our souls. That we would feel the significance of what one can say very generally. Everybody's going to die. But what we need is that it would be applied to our souls. I am going to die. Yes. I think quite often, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, what I heard round Alec Morrison say, we should be taking a look into eternity every day. Perhaps he was more conscious of that when he was getting older. But you see, there's a question to be answered. Where am I going? Where will the tree fall? How can I know where the tree is going to fall? It's this, where is the tree leaning? Of course, we may and should take the opportunity of seeking grace if we feel that the tree is leaning in the wrong direction. We should seek God that he might make us lean in another direction, in a better direction, in a safer direction. But you see, all flesh is as grass. The grass will die. As for man, to quote Psalm 103, as for man, his days are as grass. It's the same idea. The wind passeth over it and it is gone. It's all dried up. In a hot country, in a strong wind, it's not going to take long for the grass to dry. And it can be used to, in a little oven, to cook food or something. But you see, the point being made is this. The grass will quickly dry when the wind, the hot wind passes over it. How quickly, how suddenly we may dry. Or to quote verse 7 in chapter 12, after all the pictorial representations of old age, I'm not going to go through them just now, but you come to this, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spiritual return unto God who gave it. Yes. To be sent one way or the other. To be sent to heaven, to be taken to heaven would be a better way to put it. To be taken to heaven or to be sent to hell. And we might just think of the Savior's example of the rich man and Lazarus. Not the man who was raised from the dead, but the beggar who was at the rich man's gate begging. And he was full of sores. You might almost say that everything that could be wrong with a man was wrong with him as far as his body was concerned. Not as far as his soul. Blessed man, in spite of the sores. Blessed man in spite of his poverty, naturally. Spiritual poverty was being removed. Getting spiritual gifts day by day, perhaps we could say. The man was getting blessings. The gracious God was providing for him and providing for his stomach too, I'm sure. Yes. But you see, the rich Lazarus died. And the angels brought his soul to Abram's bosom, to heaven, in other words. The man died. But where was he leaning? He was leaning towards heaven. He was leaning towards God. He was a godly man. And who knows what prayers were being offered up. Who knows? There were prayers being offered up from that man's heart. Blessed man, in spite of his sores and his hunger, and how he was despised. But those who had spiritual eyes could see something about him. He was leaning towards heaven. He was leaning towards godliness. What can we say about ourselves? Have we a hope that we're leaning towards heaven? Is there some good thing in our hearts put there by the Holy Spirit? What good thing? Oh well, will we put it like this, a drop or two of godliness. A grain or two of godliness, however we put it. Are we leaning towards heaven? Are we looking towards Christ? Are we saying that, are we saying with Peter, to whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. What can you say about Peter then? He was leaning towards Christ. The Lord had been working in his heart. Leaning towards Christ. Yes. Have we got that? No hope but in Christ. And what about the rich man? Of a sudden, he was left with nothing. It wouldn't matter that he was left without his riches. He was in the eternal world, but it didn't matter that he didn't have grace. It didn't matter that he wasn't saved. Yes. It didn't matter that he had no godliness, no grace. But, you see, We speak about the rich man as the Bible speaks about the rich man, as Christ spoke about the rich man. But who was really rich? It was Lazarus. It was Lazarus. He had something in his soul. He had no riches outwardly. He had nothing to buy himself some bread, whatever else he might have enjoyed eating. But, you see, he had something he could take with him. Have we got something that we would take with us into the eternal world? Have we got something that is a preparation for eternity? Have we got grace? Have we got Christ? Have we got salvation through him? Yes. Which way are we leaning? I mentioned Peter. He was leaning towards Christ. He was speaking about going to Christ again and again. And I'm sure he did. Where shall we go? Savior had asked, will ye also go away? And Peter was trying to say no. Ah, well, he said it too confidently one time. But the Lord brought him back. Yes. Did the tree lean in the wrong direction for a few days? Well, the Savior could bring him back very quickly. The Savior could bring him back. Oh, let us be asking in the first place that the Savior would bring us to lean in the right direction. And then that the Savior would keep us leaning in the right direction. Yes, the Lord is able to do that. That's a wonderful thing. Satan may be telling somebody, it's too late. You've gone too far, you've gone on too long. But remember about these things and remember about Satan's temptations, that he was a liar from the beginning. He was a liar. He's still a liar. And he comes with many a lie to those who are seeking, however weakly. He comes with many a lie to the Lord's people. Yes. And he doesn't care if he contradicts himself. He'll adapt his temptations to the occasion. But you see, what does the Lord say? What does the Lord Jesus say? I am the way. That's important. But what I really want to point to just now is this. I'm the truth. No wonder Satan was his enemy. I am the truth. And the life. But let me emphasize this just now. I am the truth. Whatever he says is truth. And does he say this, for instance? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise, in no way. People are very fond of the expression, no way. Well, that's basically what you have there. There's no possible way that the Savior can reject someone who is coming to him, however weak. What do they need? They need strength. Ah, he has strength to give. A poor, weak sinner seeking to come to Christ. However weak, however diffidently, however lacking in confidence. You see, that's the power of the Savior. And everything he says is true. Perhaps you're saying it doesn't apply to me. Ask that the Lord would apply the truth to you in such a way that you would recognize its truth and recognize its relevance to yourself. Yes, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. Yes. Let me say one more thing before we pass on. One more example. I'm thinking just now of Belshazzar, who was ruling over Babylon. And there was that great feast that he held. One of the significant things about the feast was that he made an ungodly use of the vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. And then there was the writing on the wall. He had Daniel in eventually to interpret what was written on the wall. And there was this in it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. There was a lack. He was weighed in the balances. And he didn't measure up to the weight in the other pan of the balance. Yes, Solomon, and he died. And that night was Belshazzar slain. Armies had come and they got into the city. And Belshazzar was slain. He was lying strongly in a particular direction. The tree fell, and it stayed that way. Oh, Solomon, Solomon. Yes, but there he is, set up on the wall, as it were, in the book of Daniel. A picture set up on the wall to warn us. He didn't know that the end of his life was so near. But that's not the point. We're to be seeking the Lord now. I just make that brief application at the moment. But let us go on just now to the second point. And that is what we should do in our situation when the importance should come home to us of which way we are leaning. We cannot say whether we will die before the night is out or whether we will live on for many more days. The point is we will die. And the further point is we should seek that the Lord would so operate on our souls so that we would lean in the right direction. And then whenever death will come, we will be ready. Now, that's one of the blessed things about those who are prepared for eternity, that when the call comes, they are ready. Time and again we have seen people pass away. I don't mean necessarily seeing them at the point of death, but we have known them, and they died. And we were able to discern, and that's something fallible, but not something we should reject. We have been able to discern by their lives, by the way they spoke, for instance, that they were leaning towards God. They were leaning towards heaven. And then the tree fell. And what we can say about them now is that they're in heaven. We fully believe in many cases that they're in heaven. Some we didn't know so well. Some, for others, it was clear that they were still leaning towards the world and the things of the world. We cannot say all that God may be pleased to do, but you see, what I'm saying just now is, in the light of our text, that are those trees, so to speak, who are leaning towards the north, there are other trees that are leaning towards the south, and that is clear. And then we can say, whichever way we take the directions, that doesn't matter. If they were but we can say, if they were leaning towards heaven, then they went there when they die. But those who were not leaning towards heaven, when they died, they went to a lost eternity. And the point is just now, what is that to say to us? You see, there may be passages in the Word of God which we're not able to apply to ourselves, and that may be through ignorance, but you see, this is something we can apply. Having established that we must die, having established that it's on the basis, it's the way we were leaning while we were in this world, that will mean where we will go when we die, where our souls will go when we die. What does that tell us? It tells us to seek the Lord. You see how the book ends. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After Solomon has written all that he has had to say, and we haven't taken time to go into that in any detail at all, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us listen to it. Let us take it in. It's this: fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us listen then. God is speaking. God inspired Solomon to write as he did. We're listening to God here, if we're listening at all. We're to fear God. We're to have a holy respect for God and for his commandments. We're to seek obedience. Yes, but there's more than that. We must go to God, seeking his salvation, seeking that he would work in our souls, to ask that he would subdue our iniquities, that he would receive us graciously and love us freely. We are to seek the Lord, but you see, we need him. We need him to give us grace. We need him to give us faith. We need him to give us a new heart. And so on. We could make any number of points. But you see, God is going to bring every work into judgment. Every act of faith will be emphasized on the day of judgment. But you see, those that were leaning in the wrong direction because of unbelief. You see, what's that? What's unbelief? It's a rejection of Christ and salvation through him. That's the main aspect of unbelief. And belief can act in many ways. But this is the critical one. Rejecting Christ and salvation through him. Oh, let us go to the Lord and confess that sin and ask that he would work wonderfully. And he can. And he does. And he has. Why are there people here who are leaning in the right direction? It's because of God's grace. It's because of what he has done. Yes. Because of what he has done. He is able to save to the uttermost, let us remember. Let us keep that in mind. Let us not be disturbed when Satan comes with his own ideas. And what's behind Satan's ideas? I've been over it before, but I feel like emphasizing it over again. He's utter lies. He's telling people that God will not save them. God cannot save them, he may say. But no. And I'm sure it's been the case that when Satan has come with his lies, there's been a reaction in the heart of the person who is being tempted. And perhaps it's a lie, in a sense, that drives them, will we say, into the arms of God. And we can take that figure from the parable of the prodigal son. But you see, that part of it, I mean, the arms of God embracing the prodigal son when he was being drawn by almighty power. Yes. Satan drove the prodigal into the far country. Made big promises of how he would enjoy himself there. Yes. And left him. He had no power to help him, I'm sure. No wish to help. Let him die by his own hand if it comes to that. And that's what Satan is doing in our time, driving people to suicide. And he's a liar. He'll tell people there's nothing after death. Just bring an end to your pain and suffering. But there is something after death. Satan was a liar. He knows all about it. But there's this, that the Lord met the prodigal son when he had gone as far perhaps as he could. The Lord met. Why was there that thought in his mind? Why was there that thought? I will arise and go to my father. Because the Lord put it there. The thought could have gone further, but it was enough for the time being. It was enough. He went, he arose, and he went. He was drawn back home, and that's what's happened. When the Lord takes to do with a sinner, and that's what we should be seeking. That the Lord would take to do with us. We should be seeking him earnestly. We should not give over until we find the Lord. Yes. Then we quote from verse 9 and also verse 10. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And remember as we read this, that this is irony. In other words, it is saying something that is intended eventually to point in the opposite direction. Young people are not, when we read the whole thing, they are not being given permission to live any way that they please. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, if that's what you do. And if you let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. And then there's a huge but. A huge but. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Realize this. You see, are you allowing yourself freedom to live as you please? Are you refusing advice from others? The advice that you have had over the years. Know thou, whatever will happen in this world, there will be a judgment where Christ will sit, where we must appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. What good have I done? You might ask. Well, there's this. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you did it from your own strength, far from it, but you did it by God's grace. And what a change that made in the tree. Previously it was leaning in the wrong direction. And then faith is created in the heart of the person represented by the tree. Faith is created. And all of a sudden, so to speak, the tree leans in the opposite direction. Perhaps a little at first. And then more. And then more. Yes, and yes, the sinner will be brought to judgment. The saved sinner will be brought to judgment. And what then? Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Yes, the sinner, by God's grace, was leaning in the right direction. Death came. The tree fell, and it fell in the direction in which it was leaning. And whoever you might speak about, he died, she died. And then you reflect on this, perhaps. Which way was that person leaning? And you have to say, they were leaning in the direction of God. They were leaning in the direction of heaven. Where are they now then, you could ask. And you can say, they're in heaven now. Oh, see, if you're still leaning in the wrong direction, that you seek Christ, that you look to him, that you trust in him, in the light of all that is set before us in the Word of God. Yes. And seek by God's grace to live a godly life. Yes, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, whatever Satan may say. He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, let us turn to our God. And he will, for he will abundantly pardon. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, we are poor creatures. May we be leaning in the right direction by thy grace. If we are not, change us altogether. Make a complete change in our soul. May we be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. May our eyes be opened so that we might look to Christ Jesus. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Give thy blessing. Remember us all here. Build us up. If we have grace, build us up in our most holy faith. If we have not, grant to do a great work of grace within us. Bless what has been spoken. May it be used by thyself. Bless thy word wherever it is proclaimed. Bless the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Pardon us and keep us and bless us. Do us good thyself. Wash away all our sin. And put a restraint in the evil one. Put a restraint on him as he seeks to go about, seeking whom he may devour. Give grace to thy people to resist him. And be very gracious to the unconverted who are tempted. Deliver them from temptation. Bring them to thyself. Pardon us, keep us, draw us, do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.